This week, you're supposed to spend this time blessing someone. There's only, in this big one person posted something on the internet, right? That's pretty sad, man. But I know that there's a lot more stories than just one of you. And so I'd like you to just spend a few minutes today, and why don't you turn to someone next to you and just share what you did this week. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then just listen. All right, so once you go turn to each other and say hello, da da da, whatever, and say, this is what I did, or this is how the Lord led me to share, and whatnot, okay? And if you are new or you didn't participate, just listen to some of the testimonies around you. For some of you that don't know, you guys can keep talking, but some of you guys that weren't here last week, we gave everyone at church 500 Hong Kong dollars with a note on it to give away to somewhere here in Hong Kong. And so cups inside a thing. Anyone have any cool stories that you just heard that you would like to share on behalf of your neighbor? For me, I thought I was going to find some very, very desperate, needy person. I actually ended up giving the money to my barber. And I was just, yeah, to Adam. He's actually many of our barbers here. I had a haircut this week, and I went, and we talked for the whole hour. We're just talking and talking, and as we're talking, I just felt the Holy Spirit just really. So we started talking about God eventually, and you know, and other things, and I just felt like, man, I just want to bless this guy. You know, he's been cutting my hair for about a year now. It sounds so ridiculous, but, you know, and that's how I blessed him, and I'm, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm going to invite him to church eventually at some point and things. And so he actually told me that Jimmy was his first ever customer, right? That was like 7 years ago, so he was like a proud father. He saw Jimmy grow up, you know, and get married and all these things. So it was amazing. Hey, Stan, can you find out where that's happening? And ask him to stop. Thanks. Nicely. Right? And so, well, before I do this, I don't forget. Today is the last Sunday for our sister Sarah. She's going back to law school. So why don't you come up, Sarah? We want to bless you and pray for you. And she's got one more year left of school, and hopefully the Lord will really take care of her needs and really provide for her with a job, and hopefully bring her back to Hong Kong, you know, eventually and stuff. So you can tell she really doesn't want to leave and stuff, so I want to bless her. Why don't we come and let's bless our sister and thank the Lord for who she is, and let's pray for a real fruitful year this year at Stanford. Huh? Let's cover Sarah. Lord, we just bless your precious daughter, God, and we thank you, Lord, for God, the beautiful things, Lord, that you've done to her, God, that you put inside of her. And we pray, God, just for the manifestation, God, of that goodness to flow through every part of who she is, God. And Lord, as she goes back to Stanford, Lord, we pray that you would bless her in her academics, God, and just continue to just show her favor in the classroom, God. Show her favor in relationships with people around there, God, and with her church there, Lord. And I pray that you just open a door for her career, God. And if you want to be back in Hong Kong, God, that you just provide that way for her, Father. Lord, help her, God, to really draw near to you during this time, Lord, and really find you, God, in the places where she's seeking after you, Father. Just bless her, protect her, God. We thank you so much for her, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Sarah. I think she's flying out today, in fact. I got to ask a favor from you guys. If you could please pray for our family, especially on Saturday. God and his care for his people. And so when we live blessed lives, you know, it is a picture of God and his goodness over each one of us. Right? And so we need to understand, you know, this idea of blessing. Now, there's two kind of unbiblical views, I consider unbiblical, you know, that have really seeped into the church these days. You know, one, you know, is the view when we talk about blessing is God is for our picture is this huge vending machine, you know, and you you know there's so much stuff in there, you know, big bank accounts, BMWs, you know, all kinds of stuff we get, so many blessings in this vending machine, and in order to get out of this vending machine, you need to put into the vending machine, right? You know, many of us have watched television, you know, especially Christian television at some point, and if you want to be blessed, you better give to my ministry. You know, kind of idea, right? If you really want, you know, then you gotta, you know, this is a channel of blessing. They'll share some testimonies and some things that happen. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's a little different, right? It's kind of the idea of the more you give, the more you get. You know, and if you put a lot of coins in that thing, you know, if you do a lot, then you're gonna get a lot. You know, and there's some truth to that, you know, in terms of giving to God, you know, but, you know, when we take it to an extreme, we can lose sight of something. You know, the more money you want, right, the more money that you put in, especially to their ministries. You know, and obviously this type of thinking is flourishing, you know, all over the world in churches. You know, I mean, you know, we see, you know, pastors, you know, driving Rolls Royces and, you know, I mean, just incredible things. And because it's the prominence, you know, and I had a good friend of mine that used to, he still does, he goes out and speaks quite a bit. You know, and he happened to go to one kind of sector of the church, and they're just into extravagance. You know, and how they and what the church members say basically is like, you know, we are poor, we live in poverty, but we want our pastor, you know, to be prosperous. And so these guys are not, you know, they don't have much, but they'll, you know, buy their, you know, pastor Bentley. You know what I mean? It's just kind of this crazy thinking, but it's this idea like if you give a lot, you know, if you give a lot, you're gonna get a lot. You know, and so they'll sow. But it's kind of a different perspective. That's one side of the spectrum. The other side of the spectrum, right, which is also unbiblical in my point of view, right? I always got to add in my point of view, right, because we could all differ in these things, right, is the idea that blessings are the natural result of hard work, right? If you work hard, God will bless you. You got to really labor, man. I mean, you got to really dig deep in and really give it your all, and then God will bless you. You know, but that's not really a biblical idea, and this kind of idea really is very attractive to, you know, very performance oriented people, you know, a lot of Asian people, you know, it's, you know, conducive to, you know, the way we grew up, high achievers, you know, but it's at odds with the Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost." Right? Without cost. He says, "Come," right? This is very simple. I'm the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. You know how you get God's favor? It's not by working hard. you know, or I should say working harder, right? It's not by sowing in so much, you know, I got to do this and it's reciprocation, right? That's you know, I mean, that's karma, right? We're not into karma. You know what I mean? It's like there's a show, actually, I really like it. I think it's quite hilarious. You know, My Name is Earl, right? You guys watch that on Star, right? It's just total hick, you know, American humor, you know, but this whole thing is he's living his whole life through karma, right? He's a criminal, did so many bad things throughout his life, and he figures there's a yin and yang approach to life, and so he's trying to redo all the bad things that he did. Well, that's a nice TV show, you know, but that's not the Bible. You know, that's not what we believe in. We believe in something called grace. Grace, literally defined as unmerited favor. You get, right, not because you deserve it, not because you worked so hard, not because you gave so much, right? You get because, just because. You get because you're his child. You get because our God is a generous God. You know, I mean, do you see the difference in this whole thing? Right? He wants that, right? And all you need to do is thirst. Thirst. That's what he says. He says, if you thirst, he says, come, right? Get the water, the spring of water of life, without cost. That's all we got to do. We just got to be hungry for God's blessings. Right? We just gotta want it, right? No donations, no hard work, right? All God is looking for is thirst. He says, if you're thirsty, come to the spring of life without any cost, right? And you gotta see, this is God's heart, right? You know, God wants to bless us. God wants to put his favor, his hand of power presence into our laps. That's the kind of God he is. You know, and it's not because we're great people, not because we're so intelligent, it's not any of these things. It's because he's God and that's who he is, right? He loves doing these kinds of things. God wants to bless you both materially and spiritually. Turn to James chapter 1. You know, this is a very famous worship song. I still love singing this song all the time. James 1:17. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Right? Every good and perfect gift is from above. Well, what's a good gift? What's a perfect gift? Well, a good gift, right, is things like food, you know, good food, money, you know, laptops, cars, you know, and all these things. And these are all good things that the Father gives to us, but, you know, these good things, they will rust eventually. Sometimes they may get stolen. You know, sometimes you'll break. You know, sometimes you'll lose these things. Sometimes they just get old and just break down. You know, I mean, many of us have had iPods. You know, we know what kind of scam that is now, right? I mean, goodness gracious, man. You know, I don't know how many iPods that I know just broken down. So you got to go buy a new one. You know what I mean? And so those are kind of good gifts, you know, but it's not the perfect gift. What's the perfect gift, right? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. The perfect gift is something that will never rust, something that will never tarnish, something that you'll never lose, something that you'll never have to work for, right? You know what it is? It's God's love, right? These are the spiritual blessings that he brings to us, you know, both materially and spiritually, you know, and these perfect gifts, right, like I said, can never be stolen from us, you know, his love for us, and they'll never, ever fail, right? And so, hopefully we're understanding this aspect. Okay, so I understand that. God wants to bless me. Okay, that sounds good. You know, I'm with you there, Pastor Sam. Right? And then eventually we go to the place, well, how come I'm not being blessed then? You know, how come this is my life? You know, what's wrong with my life? You know, this is, you know, this area of my life and this area and that. And, you know, there's something a little out of whack here. You know, and so the question is, well, how do we make these blessings flow? Right? How do these things flow? Turn to John 10:10. John 10:10. You should memorize this passage by now. John 10:10 says, a thief only comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life abundantly. See? There is a thief. And don't ever misunderstand that. There is a thief, and he's trying to rob, kill, and destroy. The thief is out to get you. The thief is out to, you know, if we're going to draw this picture like we're a fountain, right? You know, it says that those fountains of life will spring up. If we're this fountain, right, this thief will come and try to block that fountain. You know, have you ever gone to, I'm from L.A., so Universal Studios, you know, in Los Angeles, if you've ever been there, they were the first ones that actually had these water things come up from the ground, right? You know, it was really fun. You try to walk through it. You know, you always get wet. You know, but if you're really smart and you can, you know, maneuver away. And I remember I was there on a date or something a long time ago. And so I was trying to be cool and everything. Of course, I got soaking wet, you know. But then my person I was dating at the time went through. And so I very deftly put my feet on these things, you know, so the water wouldn't come up. So she could walk right through and thus have the joy of walking through without getting wet, right? I know, horrible illustration, but just go with me. You know, and so, there's things that we can do, obviously, that will prevent the flow from coming. And that's what the enemy does. The enemy, very strategically, this illustration of a fountain, he gets ways where he comes in and he, you know, he puts a stop somewhere, you know, so that things won't flow. You know, I don't know, in Hong Kong, this is one of the biggest nuisances is our air conditioners, right? And the devil's like that, right? Let me try another illustration here, right? The devil's like that. You know, our air conditioner, I don't know how many times my air conditioner, the guys underneath are like, you got to fix it, you know, because basically, you know, the tray where the water is supposed to go down, something's blocking that tray, and the water is not flowing down. So what's it causing? It's causing water to spill over. It's hitting the air conditioner down below. They get ticked off, and they call the management company. They come up and tell me, I got to fix the air conditioner, and so on and so on. Anyone happened to this anyone before? It's just me? Okay, you guys are following me, right? Okay. I'm trying to be relevant to Hong Kong life these days, right? So give more Hong Kong illustrations instead of sports ones. But it's not going very well. In any case, and so, you know, the enemy, right? That's what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to stop up or put a little cork in where this flow of his favor and blessing, right, is really released over our lives, right? But Jesus came that we may overflow. Right? He says, I came that you may have life and life abundantly. Remember last week, you know, I shared the Norwegian word, like, overflued, right? I've been saying it all week long, man. I don't know why. I fell in love with this word, right? And stuff. And you know, it's this overflow that happens, you know, in our lives. You know, we are, every single one of us, we are meant, right, to be filled with the fullness of God. Every single one of us. Right? That's if you, especially when you read through Paul's letters, you have this idea that, yeah, God wants to fill us, overflowing, right? And not just fill us with good things, fill us with God. Where Jesus himself talks about the fullness of God. Where Paul says here, you went to the stature up to the fullness of God. That's what he wants to do in our lives, right? Up to his fullness of who he is. We're not just meant to contain, you know, blessings. We are meant to literally overflow, constantly pouring out. Now, what the thief does, you know, and the way that blocks blessing, or the way that stops blessing from flowing, or that overflow into lives, maybe different parts of our lives, right, the stop up, that's what the thief does. And he stops something. You know, and one of the major ways he does that is we start getting very selfish. You know, we start, instead of this overflow happening in our lives, we stop, and we don't share. We don't give. You know, we just stick to ourselves. We're not so concerned about other people. There is no outflow. All we want is inflow. You know, and if you've, you know, been to church long enough, you know, all that you become is a fat Christian. You know what I mean? You come to church every week. You just eat. You don't give. You know, nothing is going on. There's no ministry happening. What happens? You just get fat. You just get big. And you become absolutely useless. You know, I don't know if you've ever, you know, seen any of those, Discovery Channel or shows. Have you seen where there's a just incredibly obese people, you know, and they have to move them from point A to point B? You know, have you ever seen those kind of things? I mean, it's just incredible. But see, that's the picture of what happens when we're just constantly eating. Everything's about me, inflow, give me. And there's no release, there's no outflow, and we just become fat. We become useless. You know, we become dry, you know, in so many ways. We are meant to overflow. The world and the thief says, hold on to it. grab a hold of it, savor it, protect it. You know, build a furnace around it, you know, or not furnace, fortress around it, right? You know, do everything you can to, you know, to guard these things. And the Lord says, no, give it away. Give it, it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? It's especially to what the world is talking about. It just doesn't make sense. But see, this is how the Lord operates, right? He says, give it away. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Let me illustrate. Chapter 1. Right? The world says, you never know how long this is going to last. Hoard it, you know, hold on to it. We did our premarital counseling last night. We're almost done. Next week is our last week. Please pray for our groups. And this week was on finances. And we have this test that we take, and we find out if they're an overspender or a hoarder, you know. And a hoarder, like the top score you can get is 30, which is, forget it. I mean, 20 is really high. You know, most people in our group, amazingly, were a bunch of hoarders. Right, and so this message is going to really speak to them very clearly. Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. See, God comforts us with his unlimited supply. Then when we encounter troubles, we can pass on the comfort, right, that we have received from God. See, this is the biblical narrative, right? We receive blessing, and we take this blessing, and when God brings opportunity, we release this blessing to other people. And when we do that, right, we overflow. You know, sometimes we have this idea that it's going to stop at some point. You know, like, I got to hold on to this. That's the world mentality. But no, when it comes, you just let it go and more comes. And more comes and more comes. God is a God of abundance. I came that you might have life and life abundantly. Right? That's God's heart in this whole thing. You know, if you want a life, right, that is overflowing, there must be an outflow. There must be an outflow. The thief continually wants you to really suck in everything instead of flow out, right? This is, you know, really a life that sucks, you know? Because all you're doing is sucking everything in, you know? And, you know, I mean, it's kind of have a little smirk on our face, right? But, you know, we meet people like this all the time, you know? And I'm like this a lot of the times, you know what I mean? It's all about me, you know? Or, you know, and you get around people where this is so self-centered. And as soon as you start walking in that, guess what? There's no flow anymore. It just doesn't happen. You know, the blessings come even less frequently than it did before. You know, you got to understand, Jesus was continually dealing with this aspect with his disciples. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is right after Jesus visited Nazareth, and he goes to another place. He hears about John the Baptist being beheaded. And verse 13, now when Jesus heard it, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place by himself. And when the multitudes heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, the place is desolate, and the time is already past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. And ordering the multitudes to recline on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And there were about 5,000 who ate, men who ate, aside from women and children. Look at this scenario. Get to the idea of what Jesus is trying to portray here. Right? Jesus is on a mission to transform these 12 men. Right? Because he knows that these guys are the future of the world. And so he hears John the Baptist has just been beheaded. Very sad, incredibly grieved. You know, and instead of going away, you know, and I don't know if you've ever been in a very sad place, you know, where maybe you've had to grieve, and one of our natural human instincts is to go away, you know, is to just retreat. You know, I actually I don't know why I've been having these kind of thoughts, maybe because I'm not sleeping or something, you know, but I've been thinking that if something happened to my family, you know, if something happened to my wife or my kids, I get this crazy thought like, I wonder what I'm going to do that Sunday. You know, am I going to come to church and preach? Or am I going to go somewhere else? You know, kind of crazy. Huh? Your pastor's going, you better pray for me, man, right? You know, and stuff. And so, you know, I kind of had these ideas. And we naturally just want to retreat. You know, we want to go away and be to ourselves. And Jesus, he doesn't do that. He actually engages in people's misery. He says he saw something. He saw their condition. And he felt compassion for them. And so he went and ministered to them. And so, you know, he's ministering, he's praying for them, he's healing people. I mean, he's doing what Jesus does. You know, and then it's getting kind of late. You know, supper time's coming around. You know, they're in a remote area. You know, there's not any stores nearby or sources of food. And so, you know, he's thinking, oh, you know, we've got to take care of these people. And look what the disciples come up to him in verse 16, or before that. You know, and he says, the Lord, the place is desolate. The time has already passed. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Well, that sounds quite reasonable. You know, these guys sound pretty reasonable. Yeah, you know, these guys are getting hungry. But look at Jesus' response. And I should do this with the exclamation. Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Right? It's got the exclamation point at the end. You know, and I mean, this is, you know, I mean, Jesus is a little ticked off. You know, and he said, what? You give them something to eat. You know, can you imagine these disciples? What? You know, Jesus is striking at the core of their selfishness. He's striking at the core of their self-centeredness. You know, they just want to think about themselves. You know, here is this incredible multitude of people out there, and the Lord's been ministering all these things, you know, and they're like, send them away. Hey, let's go. Hey, we want to have our own time, Jesus. You know, let's hang out. Let's pray together. Let's do our Christian thing, you know, and just go away. And Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. You know, and he, not in this passage, but in the passage, you see that he has them sit and recline in groups of 50s. You know, and I think it's very wise. You know why? Jesus wants them to see their eyes. You know, when you're far away, you know, when you're kind of on the hill, you know, and you look out and you see multitudes of people. It doesn't really strike you that much. But when you go, and when you experience, when you touch, you know, when you see with your own eyes, and you hold with your own hands, something happens to us. And these guys needed to get out of themselves. They needed, you know, not just the blessings to come in, but they needed outflow. And he said, go, you give them something to eat. You know why we did that last week? You know the point of us, you know, emptying out our account and giving you some money to go out is so that you can go give them something to eat. You know what I mean? And so we don't just sit in our offices and, you know, and sit in our apartments, you know, and sit in our cabs and watch what's happening in the world, but we get so disconnected. We say, no, you go and give them something to eat. You go and engage. You know, and as they start engaging, as they went out and started seeing people, as they went out and started touching people, as they went out and begin to see their needs, you know, begin to see, you know, these hungry kids, you know, and their moms, you know, they're and worrying about how to feed them. You know, trust me, you're not going to say, hey, go away. See, something's happening to these guys. When you're flowing, when there's outflow in your life, something happens to us. You know, I mean, this week, I prayed more this week than I probably have in many, many weeks. Because I was just asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do? I was just, my antennas were up, man. And I was ready to engage, you know. It's this attitude of this outflow. You know, and we don't want to just be a one-time thing. We want this to be a lifestyle, right, in our lives. You know, the disciples, they wanted to recline by themselves. Disciples wanted to just hang out with Jesus. And, you know, ministry's done. The work's over. I just want to relax. And I just want my time. You know, how many of us are like that? You know, I worked hard. Hey, I just need my time. You know, I just need my own space for a while. And I mean, that's not being selfish. But if that's every time is just my time, right, then I think we're having a little problem here. You know, and the thief wants to cry out to us, you know, for us to cry out, oh, listen to me, serve me, love me, respect me, give to me, you know, share with me. You know, but the Lord, the way he moves is just a little bit different, right? Where he wants outflow in our lives, right? You got to understand, we are just mere jars of clay, right? Every single one of us, right? We're so undeserving, we're so inadequate, so unworthy, right, of holding such a precious thing, right? 2 Corinthians talks about this, you know, and the little things that we do, just the little things. Remember going back to a few weeks, right? Those guys were commended, you know, by the Lord, not for big things, but for little things. Those little things that we do have great impact, right? When one just starts flowing. There's a story I was reading. There's this pastor from Africa in Kenya, and he was had to go to the States, and you know, gave it quite a bit. It's from a very poor church, rural church, and so he went to the States and to attend some extra schooling or whatnot. And as he was in classes, you know, at this time he was at this conference, and as his services were going along, he got this call from his brother back in Kenya. And his brother called, this friend who was there with this guy had this kind of person, you know, had the look on his face like, oh, his wife died or his children died. It was just, you know, something drastic. You know, because what's, you know, big for one person could be small for another person, right? Doesn't really matter. But what matters is what the worth is to that person. And so they thought, well, what's wrong with you? Something happened. He says, oh. And he thought maybe his wife died. But it was actually someone stole the cow. You know, and it was the one cow in their village. One milking cow, right? That's where all the milk came from. And someone stole the cow. And he's kind of stressed out and worried about these things. And you know, and just really, you know, very overwrought with emotions, thought that God was going to really bless him because he came and all these things. Well, the friend there, you know, recognized what was happening. And so, though the other person is quite a frugal person, decided to, you know, went off to the ATM and got some money together and going to pay for a cow. Well, news spread during this conference, you know, about what happened to this pastor, you know, and sure enough, you know, by the end of the conference, he had enough money to buy 3 cows. You know, and so he sent, you know, the money over, you know, and you think that when he went back, he would buy 3 cows. No, he just bought 1 cow for his village, and he gave the other money for the other cows to other pastors. Actually, he gave it to teachers, you know, who these guys didn't get paid for a whole year. You know, and he gave them, you know, those, the funds that came out of that. You know, it's this cycle that happens in our life, right? God blesses us, and we go and we bless other people. And I remember when I was praying and asking God that I finally wanted to study now, you know. And so I said, God, you know, I'll do the school thing. If you want me to go to seminary, I'll do it, you know. But you got to give me some money because I don't got none, right? And stuff. So please take care of my needs, you know. And next week, I strolled up in church, and I kid you not, man, I walked into our high school, or I actually walked out of our high school room after our service, and one of the elders at church came over and he just put an envelope in my hand, you know, just, you know, very nonchalant, put an envelope in my hand, and said, study hard, you know, in Korean, right? And he said, just, you know, study hard, you know, and so I opened it up, and it was just a bunch of $50 and $100 bills, you know, basically enough money for my first quarter in school, you know, and then the Lord just continued to provide all the way throughout. Well, you know, there's a flow. So, you know what I did after that? Well, now I've, you know, started getting I don't want to use the word influential, but, you know, I was getting, you know, higher up in the church and these kind of things and stuff. And so, you know, I had all these other guys that were under me that I had been training for years, and I was able to help them to pay for their schooling. You know, I basically just challenged our church board and said, hey, if you want to invest in the next generation, you better pay for their school. You know, and all 4 guys, man, the church has paid for all their education, right? It's an overflow, right? God blesses you. You know, and out of that, you go and bless others. What the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy is when those blessings come and it just stops. It just stops, right? That's how he robs, kills, and destroys. And the flow doesn't happen anymore. You know, and all of a sudden, we're stuck and we're dry, you know, and we're complaining and, you know, and all these things. But there's this a life of excitement, you know, when it's just flowing. Because, see, God is God of abundance. It just continues to flow. You know, it just doesn't stop there. It just keeps happening again and again and again and again. You know, I could tell you so many stories just from my puny little life, you know, just about overflow. You know, just a little something good happens to me. You just reciprocate that out, and it just keeps coming again and again, and you're just giving and coming and giving and coming. It's overflow. You know what I mean? It's overflow. You know, I'll say this to you. I'll be really honest. I'm not trying to be prideful or something. You know, I've never backslid in my life. I'm talking as a Christian. You know, I've never had, you know, like, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, I guess we call it backsliding, right? You know, when I gave myself to the Lord, you know, I've never had a period where I was not a Christian. I became a Christian. You know, it just didn't happen. You know, because from day one, you know, and maybe I had good disciples around me. They shared with me. They taught me to give and to flow. You know, from day one, I was a minister. You know what I mean? It was about serving. It was about giving. It was about helping people. It was just on and on, again and again and again. You know, and I like to believe that that's a little part of, you know, of why I haven't backslid. You know what I mean? Because there's no time for it, you know, in some ways, right? It's just this flow that happens again and again and again. And if you start walking in this mentality and you start living in this thing where you start flowing, outflow of your life, man, you're going to be even more blessed. And not only that, you're going to bless other people around you, right? This is what God wants us, right? We don't have to do much. God takes care of this for us. Right, Jesus doesn't need more; he needs less. Right? Let me show you some. Turn to Mark chapter 8. We'll follow this theme of the loaves and the fish. Jesus here now feeds 4,000 people, and we'll go to verse 14. Mark 8:14. And it says, and they, meaning the disciples, had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, you do not see. Having ears, you do not hear. And you do not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? They said to him, 12. When I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? They said to him, 7. And he would say to them, do you not yet understand? You know, and probably many of you sitting here, you don't understand this passage either. Well, let me break it down for you, right? Jesus feeds 4,000 people supernaturally. These guys get on the boat and they forget to take bread. In fact, they only take one piece of bread with them. Right? And so they're on the boat. Jesus, the greatest teacher in the history of the world, is teaching them. Right? He's sharing with them, discussing, beware the leaven of Pharisees, you know, and he's about to embark on another incredible time of teaching. What are our magnificent disciples doing in the boat? I'm hungry. Oh man, you got any bread? Peter, surely you bring some bread, man? Hey, John, you got some bread? No bread? Come on! You know, and these guys, I mean, they're arguing with each other, the fact they have only one piece of bread. And Jesus is, can you imagine, he's probably pulling his hair out, right? Pulling his beard out and saying, hey, come, guys, why are you discussing the fact that I have no bread? Here, let me show you, right? This is a little math equation, right? He says, look, I had five loaves of bread. I fed 5,000 people, and I had 12 baskets left over. This time, I had seven loaves of bread, right? Fed 4,000 people, and I had seven baskets left over. See, the world mentality, right, is we need a lot. I want a lot. See, the Christian, the godly mentality is God says, just give me a little, right? What he's telling these guys is, do you know what I can do with just one? Think about this. Five loaves, if he could take less, feed more, and have more left over, right? That's the part you should understand, right? And he's telling these guys, can you imagine what I can do with just one loaf, right? If he takes less, feeds more, has more left over, he says, give me one loaf. Watch what I can do with one loaf of bread, right? That's all he needs. He doesn't need these kind of magnanimous acts, you know, that we do. He just needs these little things, right? Because these little things are everything. Be faithful in the little things, and I will entrust you with much. Right? This is how it operates, right? It's this outflow, this overflow, right? It's not a part of us being a guilty Christian. In fact, there's no such thing as a guilty Christian. If you're a Christian, you can't be guilty, right? Just get that straight, right? If you are experiencing guilt, you know, or especially regarding your sin, then you have serious issues with your salvation, right? Because a Christian cannot be guilty. If you want to read, there's a great chapter in How People Grow, Cloud and Townsend, that talk about guilt in the church, an incredible chapter, right? We do, right? We overflow in our life, not because we feel guilty, right? We overflow because we know who God is and we know what He thinks of us. See, having an authentic friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have an authentic friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it just flows out of you. You know why we do feel guilty? You know, we hit ourselves, I'm not doing much, I'm not this and that. It's because our friendship is not where it needs to be at, right? Because it all of a sudden becomes work, right? Because it's not work. It's an overflow, right? When you have an authentic friendship with God, full of confidence, full of power in the Holy Spirit, once you got that, the desire for service, outreach, will flow naturally from your relationship with the Lord. And so if you're having an outreach problem, if you're having an overflow problem, you might be having a friendship problem with God. Let's close our eyes.